thank the speakers, and all of them at various times, I think, have said things that are of fundamental importance to me, to every other medical researcher, and it was great that Sydney started. Now, Sydney has said many things that have been quoted and misquoted. One that I have heard him say, which is particularly important in the run-up to a spending review, is that the only important omics is economics. But what he also did was he said something in the year 2000 that inspired me, and I'll come back to, and that was man is the experimental animal of the 21st century. Women have known that for a very long time. But I'll come back to that. Now, the next speaker was Paul, and again, Paul has inspired me. I remember as a junior doctor interested in science, I listened to Paul, and Paul can make yeast interesting. And the way he made it interesting to me was he explained that the organism that he'd worked on, Saccharomyces pombi, was used by Bantu tribesmen to make beer. And I remember that. But also, Paul has an intellect that can encompass, as we heard today, the concept that we need more anarchy and we also need one king and no barons. And he's dead right on both points. And Keith was distinguished more for what he didn't say that he said before. But again, I think Keith certainly, and there are, he has educated two chief executives of the MRC, at least 11 heads of medical schools I can think of. One of the things that came through from Keith's presentation was the need to make a really long-term commitment to medical science. And that's shaped, for example, in Cambridge. He showed us the pictures of what happens when you make a long-term commitment. But that is absolutely crucial. Keith also taught me about complexity. When he was my boss, it was a very complex thing keeping him happy. He's dead right about complexity. Now, the last thing I'd like to do is I'd like to thank the government. And that's not because I'm sitting next to the minister, but this government has been excellent in maintaining that long-term commitment that's required. And it's maintained policies that other governments have formed before it. And again, when I first met David, I was very impressed by the commitment to supporting the framework 2004-2014 that came forth under a different administration. And I listened to David the other day and I realised that this government has also maintained the commitment made by Lloyd George in 1911, because the National Insurance Act was the first ring-fenced science budget. Because one penny from every insured person was put aside for research. And although that one penny only added up to £57,000, the equivalent of about £4 million now, actually what the government also did was it spent 104 pennies on what we would now call the health service. And again, the MRC would be delighted if we got one one-hundredth of the health budget. And we're... And we're not very far off. But I think these concepts of long-term vision and commitment to the ring fence are very important and highly commendable. Now, I'd like to finish going back to what Sydney said about man as the experimental animal of the 21st century. This, for me, is my top scientific priority. All the speakers agreed that in the 21st century, we need to study man and woman. And there's never been a better time. And the minister has identified big data as one of his key technologies. The potential of bringing together the data that we collect in the health service with biological data to understand disease, to follow treatment, is unrivaled. And Britain is in a fantastic position now, thanks to investments in the clinical practice research data link, which Sally Davies doggedly pursued at the time of the last spending review, thanks to investments that MRC is now able to make with partners in medical bioinformatics amounting to 90 million plus. But again, I think the questioning touched on an absolutely crucial issue, and that is that we can't work with patients, with volunteers, unless we maintain their confidence. And a key issue has been, how do we describe the use of patients' data. And the MRC Council had a really fantastic discussion about this a couple of weeks ago. And I'm looking at Honora O'Neill, who led us, I think, from the uncertain position of open data to a much safer haven. And that is safe data in safe havens. And I think that has to be the watchword now as we try and engage our colleagues, our neighbours, our patients, our families in this quest to understand human disease by analysing large data sets. We need to reassure folk that we are using safe data in safe havens. And I think this will be a very important mission for the MRC over the next 25 years. So I'll finish again just by thanking everyone who's come and made this a very special evening. Thank you very much.